Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is there. And he is by saying, Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has blessed us and allowed us to come before you another day, bringing you nothing but the truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Israel of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. So this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He is our judge. He is our lawgiver. And he is our only savior, and not just of Israel, but the savior of the world. Thank Yah for his mercy endure forever, because he's allowed us to bring to you another program of nothing but the truth. Today we're going to speak on, once again, how to represent the name of Yah. Why is this important? Well, it's very important because the Creator said to every time there's a season. And every time has a purpose. And so it's very necessary to understand time to understand purpose. And since we are in the second year of Yah's Sabbaths of years, Yah has 7 years, with the seventh being the Sabbath of year that the Almighty told us and taught us among his years. And we're in the second Sabbath of years. And in this second, since time means, or time has a purpose, what is the purpose of the second? And we've been teaching you that and bringing to you how it represents, or how the Creator will do things in the earth that will signify, that will represent his great name. And so we're going to talk about this a little bit further, so we will know when time comes, and it will come, when the Creator will do certain things in the earth. Then you won't be surprised. You won't be shocked. You won't say, well, I didn't know. I didn't understand. And the Creator will have on record that you were told. And if your eyes was open, your ears were attentive to his words, then you would have considered. But if you didn't consider, it was only because you were one of the ones that the Creator said about our people in the book of Isaiah, the first chapter. And let us turn there so you can see what I'm saying, so you won't think it is my words that I'm speaking. In the book of Isaiah, the first chapter, it says in the third verse, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel do not know, my people do not consider. So it's not me or my words that is making this indictment against the people of the Most High. It's the Creator himself. And he's saying our people don't consider. And you're going to see in these last days, and yes, we are in the last days, the very thing you didn't consider. That's why we're talking about how one must represent your name. Of course, the first thing we showed and brought to the people is before you can represent the Creator's name, the very first thing you must do, the very first thing you must know, and the very first thing you must see is words. For the Creator said, his word is above his name. Therefore, if you don't know his word, then you're not going to represent his name. If you don't know his word, how can you represent his name? And we just get you a little bit more because this is might be the first time you're listening to me. So you might have no clue what I'm speaking to you about. But I want you to have a clue. And I want you to see it and hear it and be able to do it. We're brought to you that according to the scripture says in the book of Isaiah, the 8th chapter, the 20th verse, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, because Yahweh's word represents light, and light gives you the ability to see, not just see every day, but see even in the dark. Oftentimes, the Almighty comes to his servants in visions and dreams. And in order for you to see the visions of the Most High, in order for you to know his dreams, you have to be able to see. And what do you think gives you the ability to see the things the Most High will have you to see? Well, his word. And what is the number one thing that the Creator wanted you to see and to know concerning his words, especially in the last days? What he wanted you to see is that when the Creator brought man and gave man the earth to inhabit it, to rule it, to take dominion over it, to subdue it, and be and have dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and the beasts and the cattle of the earth. He controlled everything. The reason that the Creator gave man this authority, because he wanted man to represent him. He wanted man to represent his word. And for man to represent his word, the Creator chose and elected a certain people that he thought he desired to give them his word. You'll read this in the book of Psalms 147. Let us read this so you can see this. Because this is the very first thing that one must possess in order for them to represent the Most High in any kind of way. In the book of Psalms 147, this is what it says. 19th and 20th verse. He showeth his word unto Jacob. And this is what we're talking about. The very thing that one must possess is the word of the Most High, the word of Yah. All through the book, we talk about his word. This is how we know his word is not in the New Testament, because Yahweh don't speak in the New Testament. This is how we know his word is not in the Quran, because Yahweh don't speak in the Quran. We know his word is not in the Talmud, because Yahweh don't speak in the Talmud. And we know his word is not in the book of Jasher, the book of the dead, the book of Enoch, the book of Jubilee, because he don't speak in none of these books. Not one mumbling word. Now you will see his words, some of his words, quoted in some of these books. That's why many of these books, they will have some truth in it. But what they're not going to have is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So we disregard these things so that we might know his great, holy, exalted words of truth. And this is what it says. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. Now watch the 20th verse. He have not dealt so with any nation. And as far as his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye Yah, or hallelujah. Because the only people he gave his word to are the Israelites, the nation of Israel. And this is something that even Yahweh's people don't understand. Because if they understood this, they would never rely on other people to give them and to tell them the truth, when these people don't have the truth. And they will never follow other people at all. As a matter of fact, if you following someone else other than Israel to teach you or to show you the way of the Most High, that should be automatically suspicious to you. How another people going to tell you about the new year or when the new year come or what the month of Abib is? They can't tell you the month of Abib. The Almighty never gave them his words. Because if they can tell you the month of Abib, then they also can tell you Yahweh years. And if they can tell you Yahweh years, then they can tell you that Yahweh only has seven different years. And that we were to number seven Sabbaths a year. But you notice, they're not going to tell you that whatsoever. They're not going to teach that to you, tell you that, follow that at all. Because really, they can't tell you nothing but lies and deceit. So the very first thing we must understand, the very thing that Yahweh want us to see and gave us so that we might be able to see, is his word. And what did the Creator say about this word that he gave us? He told us in his word, in the book of Numbers, if you turn there, the book of Numbers. Because Because this is the first thing that one, Numbers 15, this is the very first thing you must come to undeniable truth about. Now watch what it says in Numbers 15 and 15. It says, one ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that sojourn with you, an ordinance forever in your generations. As ye are, so shall the stranger be before Yah. So in other words, we don't supposed to follow nobody else. They supposed to follow us. The scripture says, as ye are, speaking of who? Israel. Speaking of the only people that he's chosen. The only people he gave his word to. As ye are, so shall the stranger be before you, no matter where you're located. They supposed to be like you. You don't supposed to be like them. And then the Creator lets us know, one law, one manner shall be both for you, for the stranger that sojourneth with you. Which lets us know that not only Israel, but the whole world is out of course. And why? Because the very one law, the very one ordinance, the very one way that we supposed to be adhering to. Instead, we have all these other ways, and not just the world, but Israel seemed satisfied with this. It's okay that you believe this over there, and we believe this over here, and they believe that. That's okay. Well, if it's okay, then why did Yahweh say it only should be one law and one manner? It must not be okay with him. And Yahweh, in his infinite wisdom, in his everlasting and abundant mercies, and his goodness, gave us all kind of signs and wonders in the earth that we might know how to represent him. We talked about our beloved king, King David, whose name means loving, beloved. And here, this King David, Yahweh said, was a man after his own heart. So Yahweh will use him as an instrument to show you what was in his heart. And what did Yahweh want you to see concerning the man that he made, designed to walk before you, a man after his own heart? Well, let me show you a few scriptures so you can see this. Because then, after you're able to understand this, then you can understand how to represent his name. Watch what the Creator tell us in the book of Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. I'm going to turn there and show you what he said about the man that will represent, that he made, that he chose after his own heart. Ezekiel 34. Anytime you want to serve Yah, anytime you want to represent Yah, anytime your desires is to the Most High, then What is the instrument that you will have to bring you to your maker? Well, Yahweh gave us an instrument. And watch what he say about it. In the book of Ezekiel 34. The first thing, let me show you this, though. Because you're going to see this often about this man here. And watch what it says in the first. Three verses. Now watch what this says. And the word of Yah came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Now, they the ones who he gave his word to. So he's not prophesying against those that's not Israel, not here. He wants this prophecy to go against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus is Yahweh unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? In other words, that's what a shepherd's supposed to do. But instead of them feeding the flock, according to this, they feed themselves. Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. And it's going to let you know how they're not feeding the flock and what they really are doing. The disease have ye not strengthened. Neither have you healed that which was sick. Neither have you bound up that which was broken. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled over them. And watch the fifth verse. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains, upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. In other words, the Creator is letting us know that the shepherds don't even have an interest whatsoever in gathering the flock of the Most High. They have no interest. It's okay that they are scattered. And it's okay you teach one thing here and another thing there, that they might stay scattered. So, since this became reality, this is what Yahweh said he would do to make the crooked thing straight, that he might be represented the very way that he gave his word to do. Somebody have to represent his word. And since his people refuse, Yahweh said, well, I'm going to give somebody to do it. And look what he did. In the 23rd verse, Ezekiel 23. Just so you can understand this, let's start at verse 22. Therefore, will I save my flock, because they scattered. And they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them. And he shall feed them, because the other shepherds are not. So how do Yahweh make this thing straight? Well, he's going to give them one shepherd. Even my servant David, he shall feed them. And he shall be their shepherd. And I, Yahweh, will be their Elohim, and my servant David, a prince among them, I, Yahweh, have spoken it. This is what Yahweh said. This is thus said Yah. Since the very shepherds have scattered his flock, he said, I'm going to just give them one shepherd that's going to tell them the truth. Why? Because this one shepherd represent one thing, and that is one law and his one ordinance. Because Yah is tired of all the shepherds saying one thing and then somebody saying another. So he said, I'm going to just give him one shepherd. Because a shepherd is someone that's supposed to lead the flock. And what do they supposed to lead the flock to? Well, to the Most High. Where else should the sheep go? Well, to the Most High. Because the Most High is the one that is feeding the flock. Furthermore, since we're in the book of Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, let's go to Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Oh, before we go there, let's make a pit stop real quick. And let's go to let me show you this. We'll go back to Ezekiel 11, but Ezekiel 37, we will go. Something else I want you to see. In the book of Ezekiel 37, this is what it says. See, someone has to represent the Most High. Well, that's what he wanted to do with Israel. And so amongst the Israelites, the Almighty said, well, I'm going to just get one from among them to do it, because undoubtedly the mass majority don't want to do it. Because look at my shepherds. It's only supposed to be one ordinance and one law. It's only supposed to be one way. But we got a bunch of people, they are satisfied and resolute about all the various ways, all the various doctrines and teachings that they're teaching. Look what it says in the book of Ezekiel 37 chapter. And we're going to start at the 21st verse. And say unto them, thus says Elohim, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. No more two nations, no more two kingdoms, no more a bunch of shepherds. He said, one king, one nation, no more two kingdoms. And what is this telling us? This is letting us know that what the Creator desired, what His Word is telling us, is that in order for us to begin to represent the name of the Most High, we first must learn His words. And what is His word telling us? That Yahweh is one. We can see that very clearly. And why? Because it's, you only got one law, one ordinance. You only have one king, one shepherd. And since he only have these things, that can only mean one thing. That Yahweh himself is one. And whoever represents the oneness of the Most High better than this one king. And who was that? King David. And let me tell you, the very thing he loved about this man, and he chose this man for, in the book of Ezekiel, the 11th chapter, and I said we will go there, and we're going there now. Ezekiel, the 11th chapter. This is what it says. 17 verse. Therefore said, thus says Elohim, I will even gather you from the people, assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel, and they shall come there, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from them. And watch the 19th verse. And I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, keep my ordinances, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, says Elohim. So you'll have a choice whether you had this one heart or not. And who did Yahweh send on the earth to represent his heart? A man after his own heart, David. And all through the scriptures, all David prayed to. Even though the New Testament tried to make you believe in Psalms 110 that David said, my Lord said unto thy Lord. Well, David would never talk like that. Because David only had one Elohim. He only had one heart. And that one heart was fixed on Yah. David kept one law, one ordinance. David knew better than anyone. Shema Yisrael, Yah Eloheinu, Yahweh is one. He knew better than anybody. And the scriptures backed him up. Watch this in the book of Malachi. Turn there for a second. Malachi. In the book of Malachi, the second chapter, the 10th verse, it says, have we not all one father? How many fathers you think we have? I know the New Testament tells you we got three in one. The Son, the Father, and the Holy Ghost. And that's a lie. Have we not only one father? Have not one Elohim created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our father? This is a total abomination. And there's only one thing that we should be discussing, and that is the oneness of the Most High. It's only one law, one ordinance, one way. We only should have one heart. We only have one Father. One Elohim created us all. He only gave us one man after his own heart. one shepherd, one king to us all. So we really only got one problem. That we obviously don't know his words. Because if we knew his words, we would see the one thing that the Most High will have us to do in representing him. Now we're in year two. And Yahweh still is attempting our attention. Even though he said we don't even consider, he still is trying to get our attention. Even in year two. Even if you don't even believe that, would you consider it? All through the scriptures, I can show you the great wonders he did in the second month. How Yahweh flooded the earth and destroyed every living thing in the earth. But Noah found grace in his sight, and Noah would take his family in the ark. I can show you in the first month of the first year how Yahweh will wrought all kind of miracles, wonders in Egypt. And take a nation within a nation out of Egypt. Something that had never been seen and done before, and something that has never been heard. I can show you in the third month how Yahweh will take into the wilderness, come down on Mount Sinai, and speak out of the cloud, out of heaven, to a people he brought near unto himself. Have that ever been heard in any other nation? Have it ever been done where Yahweh came down on Mount Sinai and spoke to his people and gave them his words, even Ten Commandments? And then how Moses went up in the mountain in this third month, came down in the fourth month with two tablets of stone written with the finger of Elohim. Where have you read such a thing like that before? At any time. And the people sinned. And since they sinned, Moses went back up into the mount 40 days and 40 nights and came down with two more tablets of stone written as the first. In other words, Yahweh knew the people was going to think he wrote it. So he would have it done twice. For the scriptures say, let every matter be established by two or more witnesses. So he will bring down the tablets again in the fifth month written with the finger of Elohim. And then Yahweh, in the sixth month, will have our people going to the land of Canaan, brought back all kind of fruit, where Yahweh said, this land was so beautiful, it's not like any land whatsoever on earth. It's so good, it's called the land that flowed with milk and honey. And they brought down fruit, the grapes that it speak about, it took two people to carry. And the land was as it was described. But instead of the people bringing back a good report, here it is, some will bring a bad report. So where they went to search the land for 40 days and could have went in and took the land, now they had to dwell in the wilderness 40 years. This is what Yahweh will do. He will wrought great wonders and signs in the earth. And in the seventh month, what will Yahweh do? Well, he will give the people rest as he always did. And you say, what type of rest will Yahweh give the people? Well, they had more rest in the seventh month than any month, because the seventh month represented the end of the year. So what will Yahweh say? He said, at certain appointed times in that seventh month, you will blow the horn of Jubilee. At certain appointed times in that seventh month, Yahweh will have our people, the only time they will have a holy, sanctified meeting in the new month. All the other new months, they will meet, but on the seventh one, he called it the day of blowing, even though they blew the horn on all the other ones. But this one was sanctified and set apart from all the other ones. In this seventh month, he will have all the nations come up in the Feast of Tabernacles to worship Yahweh of hosts, the King of the earth. Even in this seventh month, he will have Moshe bring the law, or the priest bring the law in this month. And why? To read the law. And what law do you think they wanted the people to read? Because in this seventh month, in a certain year, they will let the people go free. And not just let the people go free, but they also will release all debts. And this also had to be done in the Feast of Tabernacles. Of course, on the Day of Atonement, the horn of Jubilee was blown for freedom. Every month, the scriptures, I've seen Yahweh wrought great miracles and wonders that had never been done with no one else. But ask yourself, what did Yahweh do in the 13th month? What miracle, what wonder, what sign would he show to let our people know how great this month is? In the 12th month, Yahweh raised up a woman called Esther, whose name was really Hadassah, in this month. Yahweh will use her as the instrument that will bring our people freedom in Babylon. And as a result of that, in the 12th month, our people will celebrate what the people know of today as Purim. Or not Purim, but what our people actually call, in a very vain way, because of our enemies, Hanukkah. All it means is a dedication. What was Yahweh doing the 11th month? And I told you, every month you will read some great miracle. In the 11th month, this is when Moses told the people, look, you don't stay long in this mount, and let's go and take the land that was promised to our forefathers. And this is what they began to do when they were in the land of Moab. Every month, and all you have to do is study the months. But what do all this mean? All this mean is Yahweh and his signs and wonders that he put in the earth is his people. And what he put them in the earth to do? To represent him. As David represented the oneness of the Most High, a man after his own heart. Because Yahweh only wanted you with one heart, one way, to keep one law, one ordinance, one king, one shepherd. Because if you knew that oneness, you only have one Father and one Elohim. And once you are able to come to those undeniable truths, then you can represent his name. And who did Yahweh give to represent his name? And what was the character of the man that will represent his name? Well, since you're in the book of Malachi, look at Malachi, the fourth chapter. Watch what this says in the fourth verse. It says, remember ye the law of Moshe, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all of Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Here it is. Moses was so important. Yahweh would give this man so much authority that he said, remember the law of Moses. And Moses didn't even give a law. But he was the instrument that Yahweh will use to bring down his laws to the people. And not only he brought the law, show you what also Moses brought. The very thing that we're discussing today, how to represent Yahweh's name. If you go to the book of Exodus, reason why it was necessary and essential for us to go over his word, because his word is above his name. So there's things you got to know in his word. You got to learn how to make Yahweh one, because Yahweh is one. In the book of Exodus, the third chapter, that's the 13th verse. Moshe said unto Elohim, behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the Elohim your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? In other words, Almighty Moses said, look, I'm going to go to these people, and I'm going to say, the Elohim of your fathers has sent me unto you. The first thing they're going to ask me is, what is your name? And Elohim said unto Moshe, Asher, Yah, Asher. I'll be what I'll be. And here is translated, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So who did he give this great sign to? This great wonder, and who instrument that Yahweh will use to bring about his great name? Well, Moses. Now, why Moses? Well, it's something about Moses that is essential for everybody to have if they desire to represent Yah's name. Just like he gave you a man and chose a man after his own heart, so you will know his heart. And what is it about the heart Yahweh wants you to know? That he's one in every way. All through the scriptures, thou shalt have no other Elohim but me. And David didn't. He said, hear, O Israel, Eloheinu, Yahweh is one. Because he is. He said in the last days his name going to be one. And he's one. But Moses brought his name. And what is it about his name that you must know since we're in the second year? Well, the first thing you got to know is how to represent his name. Then you can see what you're doing. In the book of Numbers, the 12th chapter, show you why Moses and why he will be the instrument Yahweh will use to represent his name. This is what it says in the book of Numbers, the 12th chapter. 6th verse. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, Yahweh, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moshe is not so, who is faithful in all my house. No wonder he represented Yahweh's name. This is the most faithful man the Almighty seen in his house. Now, why was he so faithful? Well, let's read the third verse so we can understand why. Third verse says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. No wonder he was faithful. Yahweh said this is the most meekest man on earth. He was above all the men which were upon the face of the earth because he was very meek. And what did the word meek mean? That means he was very humble. He's very humble. And Yahweh said you can't walk with him unless you be humble. And he was. He was the most humble. And the reason why Yahweh will use him as an instrument to represent his name, because he was so humble, that only meant that he will be faithful. And he was very faithful to the Most High. It says in a verse, show you how faithful he was and how meek he was. The Creator said, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, not in dark speeches. And the similitude of Yah shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moshe? In other words, this man was a man that didn't have to dream at night, and Yahweh would not come to him in no dream. This is not a man who's seen visions of the night. Matter of fact, he didn't have visions at all. Anytime Yahweh wanted to speak to him, he spoke to him mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And a similitude of Yah shall he behold. So as you can see, this Moshe was not like no other prophet whatsoever, not none. No wonder Yahweh chose him to represent his name. And since he gave him his words, and he the one brought the words down to the people, there was no doubt Yahweh was going to have him represent his name, because Yahweh's name is all through his word. Yahweh's name is on his word. Why do you think all through the scriptures he says, thus is Yah? Or the word of Yahweh came unto me saying, I, Yah, have spoken it. Why? Because his name is on his word. And he had a representative that he knew had the right type of spirit. Spirit of meekness. Humbleness. That would do what he said. He wasn't going to fight him. He wasn't going to argue with him. He wasn't going to question him. He wasn't going to do none of that. He was going to do what he was told. And there's something that most people don't want to do. They don't want to do that because they feel like, I'm just supposed to follow you. I'm just supposed to do what you say. In other words, I'm not supposed to question anything. Not if it's thus says Yah. What question do you have for thus says Yah? That's like Moses saying, after Yahweh said, thus says Yah, and Moses said, well, Yah, what that mean? You sure? Is that the way you want to go? No, Yahweh didn't. Moses didn't question Yahweh's word, but Moses did intercede for the people because he knew Yahweh better than most, and he knew his mercies, and he knew they were abundant, and he will appeal to the great mercies of Yah. But watch what this says. In the book of Psalm 25. Since meekness is essential to represent Yahweh's name, in the book of Psalm 25, verse 8 and 9, watch what it says. Good and upright is Yahweh. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek teach his way. All the paths of Yah, mercy and truth, unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Why? Thy name's sake, O Yah, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Only one that can pardon you is Yah. Only one that can teach you is the Most High. But you have to be meek. How else can you represent his name? And in last days, this is who Yahweh is looking for. He's looking for the meek in the last days. Let me show you this. And the meek that he's looking for are those who will represent his name. Watch what this says in the book of Zephaniah, the second chapter. Book of Zephaniah, the second chapter. And you can see how all this goes together. Watch what it says, the very first verse. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. And you know the one that the Almighty said he was set up to gather the people because they were scattered. It's not going to be the mass majority of the shepherds because they are the ones that scattered the people, still scattering the people. So he said he's going to get one to gather the people. And here it is, the Almighty won't. You to take the time to do something that others won't do. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation I desire, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of Yah come upon you, before the day of Yah's anger come upon you, because this is what's going on. This is what is about to happen. Watch what it says in the third verse. Seek ye Yah, all ye meek of the earth. See, he wants the meek to seek him. Because it is the meek he's going to save. He said the meek shall inherit the earth. But what meek is he coming to save? It says, which have wrought his judgment. What is his judgment? His judgments are the things he told us to do. And one of those things is gather ourselves together before the decree bring forth. Then he said, Seek righteousness. Seek meekness, because you might not know what righteousness is, and you might not know what meekness is, so I want you to search for it. I want you to seek it. I want you to look for it. Because if you do that, it may be ye shall be hid in the day of Yah's anger. So where are you going to look for the righteousness and for the meekness that you need that you might represent Yahweh's name? Well, why don't you look at the one that brought his name? Why don't you look at the one that is the meekest man on the earth? The Almighty gave us a living witness, an example that we can look to represent him, to represent his name. His name is called Moses, Moshe. So, for example, you might read about Moses, and this is what you will read in the book of Deuteronomy. So you can see how to represent Yahweh's name. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 9th chapter, watch what it says. The 17th verse. This was this man Moses did after our people would build a golden calf, which was a great sin in the wilderness. Deuteronomy 9:17. And I took the two tables and cast them out of my two hands and break them before your eyes. And I fell down before Yahweh as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water. And why did Moses do that? Because all of your sins which ye have sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of Yahweh to provoke him to anger. And how many days have you fasted? How many days did you stay yourself for water and eat no bread, not just for your sins, but the sins of others? When have you done this for even the dead? Because you have mourned them. Therefore, you humbled yourself, as our fathers would do, like King David did. Not eating bread and water. This is the humility, the meekness of a man that the Almighty said was above all the men on the face of the earth. In other words, when our loved ones die, you eat and be laughing. But not so with our people. Not so with Moses. Not so when we see it. The Almighty said, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. Our people are not in the house of mourning. Our people is in the house of mirth. They jumping down rejoicing. They don't think nothing is wrong. And they sure don't see no danger. Because if they seen any danger at all coming, then they will warn the people. And they will gather themselves together. Look what it says. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith Yah was wroth against you to destroy you. But Yahweh hearkened unto me at that time also. And Yahweh was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him, because he the one built the golden calf. And I prayed for Aaron also the same time. And I took your sin, the calf which ye have made, burnt it with fire, stamped it, grounded it very small, even until it was as small as dust. Cast the dust thereof into the brook that descended out of the mount. This is what a man of humility would do. This is how Yahweh desired from us. This is how Yahweh will have us to walk before him. Watch what it says in the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. This is how you represent Yahweh's name. Watch what the Almighty told us in the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the 2nd verse. And thou shalt remember all the way which Yahdah Elohim led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And watch the very first thing it says. To humble thee and to prove thee, which means to test thee, and to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And it's not a coincidence that the man that Yahweh will use to do all these things is the most meekest man on the earth, who Yahweh gave his name to bring to the people. They didn't even know his name. So in other words, all we had to do was look at the instrument that Yahweh gave us, that we might see how to walk before him in his great name. Third verse. And he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yah, do man live. So I can understand why Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights, because when a man fasts, it breaks the heart. It breaks the spirit. And how do I do that? Because now your spirit is low. Now you low. And all the talking that generally happened, now you ain't talking as much, because you become weak. And the less you talk, the more you listen. And the more you listen and hear, Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, the more you can do. And that's the state that Yahweh wanted the people to be at. Because once you learn to become very low, then you can receive the great blessing that Moses received in the book of Exodus 34. Let us turn there. And watch what it says. Book of Exodus 34. Start at the very first verse. This is what it says. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest, and be ready in the morning. Come up in the morning into Mount Sinai. Present thyself there to me in the top of the mountain, and no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before the mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. Moshe rose up early in the morning, went up into the Mount of Sinai, as Yahweh had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stones. And Yahweh descended in the cloud and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of Yah. And Yahweh passed before him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh Elohim, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. And Moshe made haste, bowed his head toward the earth, and worshiped. That's what Yahweh did for Moses. He proclaimed his name before him. And watch what Moses asked. And he said, if now I found grace in thy sight, O Yah, let my master, I pray thee, go among us. For it is a stiff-necked people. Pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thy inheritance. And Yahweh did. But since Yahweh said he will not clear the guilty, by no means clear the guilty, make no mistake about it, Yahweh will not have anyone to represent his name that refuse to humble themselves to him. Yahweh said, walk humbly with your maker, walk humbly with your Elohim. And this is what we got to learn to do. Because the very man that Yahweh will use as an instrument to bring his name to the people, he was the meekest man on earth. And all we have to do, all we ever had to do, was learn to follow him. And this man, what he did to become one of the most meekest men on earth, last thing I want you to see, it's in Exodus 34 and 27. And watch what it says. Yahweh said unto Moshe, write down these words, for after the tenor of these words, I've made a covenant with thee and with it. And he was there with Yahweh 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. How can you represent Yahweh and you haven't learned how to break your own heart from the vanities of the world? And the number one vanity is your mouth. Break that spirit. Break that heart. And represent Yah. Last scripture. I just want to show you one more. In the book of Deuteronomy 29. It second verse. And Moshe called unto Israel. Said unto them, ye have seen all that Yah did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh, and unto all his servants in all his land, the great temptations which thy eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet Yahweh has not given you a heart to perceive it, eyes to see it, and ears to hear it unto this day. And why? And watch what it says. And I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you. Thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am Yah, thy Elohim. So what is this telling us? What do we have to know about representing Yahweh's name? We must humble ourselves. We must become meek. And the only way we can do so is by learning to break the follower of our grounds. And what is that? Our heart and our spirit. Today, you can learn to do so. Break that heart. Break that spirit. Represent the Most High name as he has commanded, as he has desired, and as his servant Moshe, instrument that he will give, that we can see to follow him. Until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
Mercy, and it's love and kindness, 'cause I know that I ain't worthy.